Minister Lecce and his team have done an incredible job keeping the schools safe. But until we get the numbers in the community down to where we need them, the problem is not in our schools, it is in our community. And bringing our kids back to a congregate setting in school after a week off in the community is a risk that I won't take.
Our coverage continues of this developing story on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
You heard the Premier live making that announcement right here. Ontario schools staying closed indefinitely to in-person learning as COVID-19 cases continue to surge in our province. This, of course, a complete turnaround from what we heard yesterday from the education minister, who was seated next to the premier today, where the education minister sent out an email basically saying, yeah, you know what? Everything's fine. The schools are safe. We're going to go back right after April break. No problem whatsoever. Now, Jay, we've got a situation where that's not the case, and parents are left wondering what the future holds.
In our community is something I think that you're going to hear more and more and more of. You know, this is not in our schools, this is in our community. And when I think the premier says it's in our community, he's also saying it's in our factories and it's in our workplaces, it's in our congregate settings. And hopefully that's something we're working to fix behind the scenes.
Dr. Kareem Kurji is York Region's Medical Officer of Health. Doctor, you've been one of the outliers in when we talk about the medical officers around the province. When you heard today's announcement of closing schools for at least a few more weeks after April break, what did you think?
We were very positive about that announcement, only because things have changed rather rapidly during the week. And we in York Region actually are very data-driven, and we have been comparing, you know, the periods just prior to April 1st and the, you know, 8 days, and we found that there had actually been an increase of 37% in the cohorts who had dismissed, and there were many more outbreaks, like 15 versus 2. And we were finding that we were at the brink of our public health capacity at the end of the week. Beginning of the week, we were fine, right? So this COVID-19 spread very fast. So we started our discussions with our partners with respect to, you know, the possibility of extending, as it were, the spring break. Maybe by a couple of weeks was sort of our intention. This is based on some modeling data also that has been done locally by Scarson, which seems to show that maybe 10 or 20 cases less would occur if we follow that. So I'm very happy, you know, that the province has decided to extend the period of the break. And of course, we'll need to keep on reevaluating because we all value our children being in schools, but we want them to be there safely, and we want our teachers to be safe as well.
That's quite the turnaround from where you were on this issue last week, no? I mean, when you had, you know, Dr. Davila in Toronto, when you had a Dr. Lowe in Peel Region saying, listen, we're gonna put a pause on schools, you weren't saying that. So what specifically changed? Is it just those numbers? They became so frighteningly high that your opinion has changed on the matter?
So as I said, we're data-driven. At that time, when the others, you know, went to closure of the schools, we felt that we could continue safely. We were seeing a low level of transmission in schools, and we still see a low level of transmission in schools. However, our public health capacity, given the very high increase in caseload, has also tended to kind of spill over to the school side, because no longer are we able to close our investigation fast enough to have complete confidence that we're not missing any cases. And that occurred right at the end of the week, and hence the discussion with respect to closing the schools occurred then.
Doctor, when you look at and talk about being data-driven, what is the key point of data that we need to get a handle on? Is it ICUs? Is it caseloads? Is it variants? What's the number that we're looking at? You know, what's the number one thing we need to change?
So, first of all, I think, you know, with respect to schools, we do know that there's a very low level of transmission in our schools. But we've also got to have a confidence that with respect to our ability to be able to identify cases that come from within the community and be able to take the appropriate precautions and, you know, dismissal of cohorts, etc. We have always said that from a public health perspective, we were not finding a problem. I know the school boards were very challenged because they had to, for operational reasons, close a number of schools. But that wasn't really a public health reason. But now, at the end of the week, you know, we felt that we are at the brink of being challenged to keep them health and safety. And that is what changed. However, with respect to your broader question, we have to look at so many different parameters. So, for example, when we first started with this pandemic, we used to have the elderly, paying the most price in terms of lives. The fact that we went out 2 weeks in advance in York Region with respect to our immunizations, our immunizations are 80 plus, are over 85%. And we've actually seen a plummeting in the mortality rates in that age group. So I'm comforted by that. And I'm hoping that the same will apply to the other age groups of the elderly and most vulnerable people. Now, at that time, we never really thought that young people would be succumbing as, in such a major way. And so the pattern has changed. And so our approach has changed. Our approach has changed to focusing on the hotspot areas and going into workplaces where we know that there have been a number of outbreaks and a lot of people have acted as transmitters of the COVID-19.
Doctor, in your opinion, is it wise to keep daycares open? When I say daycares, I mean those involving kids who are not school-aged. Is that a smart idea? Is that a smart call?
We'll continue to monitor the situation there. So far, we are not actually seeing a major problem there. We do have a few outbreaks, and we have processes in place to control that. But like everything else with COVID-19, what we decide one day may not necessarily be the best decision the next day.
Dr. Karim Kurji, thank you for the time.
You're most welcome.
Thank you, Doctor.
That's York Region's Medical Officer of Health, who has been against the idea of closing schools. But clearly, Jay, that's no longer the case. The data that he saw at the end of the week last week caused him to even change his mind. So, we'd love to get your reaction on this at 416-872-1010. I find that quite interesting, and I don't disagree. I think that, yeah, of course, things do develop. We know that the situation is quite fluid. Things move quite quickly. But that's, that's one hell of an about face.